Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to Maximize Your Hunt, the podcast dedicated to those who want the most out of their hunting property. This podcast explores land management, habitat improvement, and hunting strategies that will help you maximize your time in the field. Follow along as industry professionals that live and breathe white-tailed deer share their secrets to success. And now, the founder of Whitetail Landscapes, your host, John Teeter.
Hi, I'm John Teeter, Whitetail Landscapes. This is Maximize Your Hunt. Welcome back, everybody. Hopefully, everybody's doing well. 4th of July is coming up. I know that's exciting for everyone. Hopefully, you've got good plans. I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing, but I'll likely be with my kids. I just got back from a trip yesterday. I was on a client consulting. Not too warm, not too bad. It actually was a kind of windy, a little rainy day. We got to walk in some swamps, doing some wetland improvement. Just an interesting property. Always complicated, a lot to deal with, a lot of planning, a lot of execution opportunity for that client. I think he'll get there. And I just say to everyone, keep working. If you're not working right now for whitetails, you're not getting prepared the best you can for the season. It's important to put more, the most effort you can in right now. Over the next few weeks, it's a great opportunity to make sure that you're shaping your season, right? It's now. And I'm still cutting a little timber. I'm actually got some clients coming up. I'm doing some work on. So I've been pretty busy. So we, in the last podcast, we had a client on. We talked a little about his history, his planning, his journey with my business. We got another client on. So this is our three-part series here with multiple clients. So let me get Corbin on the line. Hey, Corbin, how are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. So I want you to introduce yourself, and I want you to talk a little bit about where you're from, what you do for work, and just your passion for whitetails.
I'm from upstate New York, up in the Adirondack Mountains. I own a couple scrap yards. I recycle scrap metals and made a living doing that. And my passion is whitetails and habitat work and growing deer. It's been quite the rabbit hole.
Yeah, it is a rabbit hole for sure. Now, you've got a really busy job and career. You work a lot of days a week. You travel to work. Your business is some distance from your home. I consulted with you, so I stayed at your house. We looked at one of your pieces of property. You own multiple properties. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, just your history growing up. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, hunting has been kind of a lifelong journey for you, so I want to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my grandparents are from southern New York, and growing up, we never even hunted the Adirondacks. Dad always said there's no deer up here, so we always went down to Grandma and Grandpa's for Thanksgiving week, and that was our start of it, and became a real passion of mine, and was something we always look forward to every year. So started there. As time progressed, I'd say within the last 10 years, I really got into the habitat end of things and growing deer and trying to understand them better and just be a better deer hunter and a better habitat manager, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a journey. We always say that it's a journey. It's a process. Now, you hired me, and I said on the last podcast with a client, I don't know why these guys hire me, but they think I know something. Sometimes I do. I feel like I have a lot to share. In deciding to hire somebody, what was the process you went through? And maybe dialogue a little bit, because I don't want the audience to be focused on me specifically. I want them to think about, you know, what are the decision-making points they made along the way to get to the point of hiring somebody? There's different types of buyers in my business from a sales standpoint. And we want people that are empowered, that want to experience great things. And part of that's the allure, right? They want to experience great things. Well, I can help you create great things. Sometimes you just need a kick in the butt. Other times you need direction. So for you, let's explain a little bit about your process to hiring somebody and what you were looking to get out of it.
So what really led me to you, I've had a couple other consultants consult different pieces of property for me, and I was looking for a little bit more and just running down the rabbit hole more. And when I talked to you that first time, you were outside of the box thinking and brought a lot of more perspective to my properties. And that's what I was looking to get out of it. I wanted to get deeper into it and not just have a habitat plan on food plots and trafficking deer. I wanted to improve my woods better, to give them that better woody browse, to give them marshy areas, to improve them areas, to give them that full realm of the habitat, not just food plots, you know?
Yeah, when we first talked, I don't remember our first conversation, but when I came to visit you on the one property that we consulted on, I was pretty impressed with your knowledge and experience. Now, you had went to, I think, a master class. I mean, amongst other things you've probably done in your hunting career, you had gone to Don Higgins' master class, and I think we dialogued a little bit about that. I think you had got some good points out of it, but you told me, you know, I think things are more complicated out here. It's a complex environment, and it's dissimilar in many ways. So I want you to dialogue a little bit about maybe your experience with the masterclass that he put on, as well as just your experience hunting out in other areas.
Yeah. had a great experience at Don's class, on his master class, and went through that. And just really sank home that we are in a totally different environment up here. I mean, it's totally 360 difference from there and here, where they are. They're all ag fields. It's total ag fields, and you're hunting draws and little patches of woods, where here it's just the opposite. You're hunting big woods. Totally, the winds are different. I mean, the uncontrollable, right down to you're drawing them deer for a couple miles. These deer aren't just living on a 100-acre farm. You're talking thousands of acres that they're roaming through, and you're trying to get them to hold on your 200-acre, 300-acre piece. So it's totally different habitat, totally different mindset. I mean, to go out there and hunt, it would almost take the challenge out of it.
Yeah, and I think that's hard for people to relate to, and that's not degrading those areas. In fact, you know, kudos to everyone that has those different experiences and, you know, has older age class or maybe a simpler set of tactics to get in and be successful, where, you know, we have in a many areas low deer populations, you know, we have difficult area, difficult habitat. Your property that I did some consulting on, it's about as unique as you could possibly get. There is more diversity in ecoregion or ecotypes than almost any property that I've seen. And we really came up with a pretty interesting plan. I know, you know, there had been other consultants working on a few of the things for you, but I don't know, you know, did we hit a home run or, you know, was it good? Like, what was your experience? Like, what information did you get out of me that you felt like, okay, because we've worked together more after that. So it must have been decent. So I want a little bit of your experience there.
Definitely. So yes, I had two other consultants. Yours was by far the most in depth and strategic. It was, you could tell there was a lot more thought behind it. There wasn't just somebody walking in and a day or two later, somebody wrote up a plan, drew some lines and threw together a plan. There was a lot of thought behind it, a lot of thought behind the diversity in the habitat and on how to improve that, how to get them deer to work their way instead of just running through your property, to work their way up to your sites that where you want to kill them. A lot more in depth, right down to we were talking about controlling the wind. I mean, cutting laneways for wind, I mean, that's next level stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff that guys don't even think about.
Yeah. We're trying to take it to a level that is like, put it this way. Like if you have a property, like in an island and you've got a sea of food around you and you've got this incredible habitat, you've increased every inch of it. It's a little bit different when you're dealing with this monotonous timber and you've got to differentiate yourself. You're already differentiated alone just because of the habitat you're in some cases in the Midwest, that some of those block timber scenarios. I can think Higgins' property is a great example of that. And, you know, kudos to Higgins. He's got a great area. He's a, you know, fantastic hunter and seems like just a terrific guy all around. And Tony LaPrette's in the same boat. And, you know, he's hunting an island property as well. Those are just different properties and a lot easier to control and manage. As much as they talk about the difficulties, they're just different areas. But, you know, not belittling any of that, but supporting kind of the concept of you have to be very specific and detailed. I think because of the pressure, and we have pressured neighbors around you, we had some complications with neighbor. We eliminated some of the neighbor hunting, right? Some of the design was not even just to be better. It was to actually eliminate your neighbors. And we came up with concepts, and I don't think we should get into details maybe here on those concepts, but we came up with concepts to eliminate really your neighborhood neighbors 100%. They wouldn't be a factor at all.
No, 100% agree.
I probably, they might listen to this podcast, but so let's talk a little bit more about, you know, how do you feel So let's treat this as a journey. And you're at the point now where you own multiple properties and you've invested in some consulting. You know, you're willing to, I guess, use the money that you save for your property or a portion of money that you had set aside to solve some of your problems. So the way I look at it is I'm a problem solver and I'm coming in and we're trying to come up as a team. We're kind of coming up with a solution. You know, you're struggling, I think, in your own world because you have so many different properties to focus on where to start. So we decided as a group, like you and I, we decided, okay, I'll come in and I'll call with you. I was already down working on other clients and we put together a day together. I want to know why you did that. What was your like, hey, I want to, I've heard you speak. I understand your perspective on things. I taught you the basic principles, which are really simple. I think you would agree that it's pretty simple how to design a hunting property once we come and do it. But you wanted implementation work. You wanted to start to see it in form. And I just want to kind of dialogue. What was your thought process there? Why did you say, okay, you know, is it a time thing? Is it a money thing? Is it a learned thing? What made you say I need more support? Because I think a lot of people, they hire the consultant, they don't know how to do the work. They don't hire somebody to do the work. But if they did that, it would be 100 times farther ahead hiring somebody, particularly with the experience of actually cutting timber, doing layout, running machinery, right? I know how to do all that stuff. What was your experience there?
For sure. So if you can screw it up, I've screwed it up. I've done everything backwards. I'm a hard learner. When I talked to you on our consulting, we were talking about cutting and stuff, and just because you can cut wood doesn't mean you see certain things that somebody else sees. And that's what I wanted you there for. I wanted to get into your head a little bit and see what you were seeing how you were laying stuff, seeing them different beds and how them deer are funneling and get inside your head. That was my main reasoning for having you there. Was to learn your train of thought and your perspective on the different situations. I'm a hands-on learner. I'm not one that can read a book and go to the woods and do it, you know? So I wanted that extra perspective with it also, and just to get you to lay things out. And I think it was beyond well worth money.
So I kind of use this analogy, and it's pretty simple. Would you climb Mount Everest without a guide? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
All right. Most people wouldn't do that. And it seems like, wow, that's a different feat. Like climbing a mountain is a little more extreme than, you know, preparing a property to make it superb hunting or to improve it. And I say, no, it's not. It's the same exact thing. You know, a lot of times, an individual that's climbing Mount Everest, they're going to hire a Sherpa, and that individual or company is going to provide them guidance, expertise, equipment, learning, training, right?
Sure.
If you walk, and they do it twice a week, right? Those individuals have that guidance and they support property owners, or in this case, climbing a mountain, you know, many times during the week or many times during the month. That level of experience is pretty engaging, and it's intended to give you the right perspective to move forward. Cause I could talk all day. I could talk,
when you're on that level, it's life and death. And really on our level on deer management, it's life and death of the property. If you go in and you cut the wrong things, you can set yourself back 10, 15 years, 20 years. So just by doing the wrong work. And ask me how I know, because I've done it. I've screwed it all up, and then it's twice as hard to fix afterwards. So why not pay the money up front and get it done right first the first time, than to go back and try fixing all your mess ups and being up Schitt's Creek without a paddle, basically, you know?
How did you personally come down the road of just assessing, like, so you do have a lot of experience, right? You've killed quality deer, you've traveled, you've done a lot of different things. How did you come to grips personally and like reassess where you're at? Because, you know, you do have experience. It's not like you're not knowledgeable and experienced, but how did you like sit back and say, I need more? Or like, maybe you just wanted to get it right. Like what was the, like the tipping point for you to say, you know, I need this or I need that. What was that like personally? What drove you to that point?
I think, so when I first started land management, I bought 200 acres here and my goal was to have a soybean field. To get my soil good enough to have a soybean field. So I was learning up to that point, probably 5 years into it. And finally I got to the point, I said, well, just a soybean field really isn't going to do me anything. It's everything else that wraps around that. It's to the point of soil management now, and soil food blends are, in my personal opinion, are way far ahead of monocrops and learning all that. So it's not something that's just been a turning point. It's just been a learning path, I guess, just one thing after another that leads to another and just keeps bouncing back and forth, you know, and making my way down the trail as I go. So it's you're never done learning. I mean, as soon as you think you know something, somebody throws a wrench in your gears and there's a whole nother rabbit hole to run down, you know?
Yeah. So what were you thinking when you hired me? What was it? What were you trying to accomplish at that point? Like, what was your, you know, we looked at just that one particular property, although we worked on a different one and I want to get to that. What was your actual goal? Cause we talked about when we first started talking, I remember it clear as day. I'm sitting in your office and we're talking about your goals. What was your goals?
I wanted a 200 inch deer. That was my goal. I want to shoot a 200 inch deer out of the Adirondacks. That's my, my goal.
How did that dialogue go with me?
You're nuts. Yeah. And even if I fall short on my goal, okay, if I shoot a 170 class deer out of the Adirondacks, that is a absolute giant up here, you know? Yeah. And, but I've always been the type to set my bar high and keep striding for it and trying. So it's, but I know for a fact I can't do that without good soils, good woody browse, good natural browse. It's not just food plots. It's a lot more in depth. And that's why I brought you in, is to get that benefit, that next level train of thought and depth in my thinking.
Yeah. And it was funny. I was up on another client property yesterday and we're sitting and talking. Super great guy. You know, like most of my clients is great guys like yourself. And it was just a good conversation. And I could show him quality because he had quality elements of his property that we were kind of dissecting. And we got down to the plant level and we said, these plants go, these plants stay. I want you to cut that. That stays. That particular tree there stays. And he started seeing how particular I was about some of the specifics. And again, we had a large property to play with and we were in a 30-yard by 30-yard section. And I said, when you get to the point where you can start making the decisions I just made here in about 4 seconds, I said, you will be at that next level. So to you, once you get to that point, you know, again, designing and building, and you're able to kind of forecast, you know, I told you, you got to hit X amount of food per square acre, right? This is the food composition that you need. This is the amount of woody material you need across the landscape, right? I prescribed all that stuff for you in the conversation. This is how you cut, where you cut. These are the trees you cut. Yep. We played forester, right? We played consultant. We played deer manager. We played biologist. We played every one of those disciplines. And at the end of it, you're like, holy shit, you know, it's not that hard, but there's a lot of depth to it and complexity. Yeah. So, yeah.
And a lot more, there's a lot more background that's needed than just deer hunting. It's the whole realm of things that come together that make the package. It's not just one thing or the other. And that's what I really found intriguing about you and your background and your train of thought, you know?
Yeah. I want to get to, I want to get to the next piece of this is talking about, we had a chance to work together, which is my favorite thing to do with clients because It's team building. If you think about it, at the end of the day, it's team building, right? We got to spend some time. You know, I wasn't just yabbing at you and talking back and forth, and we were actually working together.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that experience. I want you to dialogue a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I got you out of bed bright and early, went and had breakfast, and then we dug in. We shed a little blood together and sweat some tears, and we got it done. We got a lot done in one day. Really opened my eyes to your train of thought. Just watching you go through the woods and watching you look on how you're laying things out. Like, you'd be walking through, you'd watch him look in the trees, and then all of a sudden he said, yep, I got it. And he'd walk back and start cutting and lay it right out. And when I saw you in your realm of things, it came together for me. It clicked. I said, yep, I got this now. I understand how he's thinking and how he's laying things out. And I'm not saying I'm at your level, but I understand more of where your train of thought is. It was really eye opening to me.
Yeah. In that process, we had your cousin with us. He's a logger by trade, right? So it was good for him to see some of the technique. And obviously he had a learning curve to get over, right? You can't just be a logger and you're good at cutting timber and you can do this, right? It's a little more in depth than that, like we talked about earlier. But I felt like the connection that you and I had during that working day, it's synergistic, right? You see the vision and you can start to see how I construct things, and you can shape anything the way you want it. It's just a matter of, does it make sense in the particular situation? And it goes back to root goals. Like, what am I trying to achieve in this particular area? The volume of cutting that you do, or the style of cutting, you know, we did some felling, we did some hinge cutting, you know, we built some walls, we funneled the deer, we had a plan of action, and we just literally, I'd never been on that property, right? And I just said, well, all right, we're freestyle, let's roll. And, yep. You know, what did you think kind of about, did you see, like, the cutting techniques are really unique. Like, I'm really not cutting the same way. I don't think anybody's cutting right now in the country. Jim Ward does cut like us, but it's a little different as well. I'm cutting a little bit different from him because it's my take on how to kind of construct things in the woodlot. And it's organized, right? It's really, see how organized it is?
Very organized and very precise. Like, and I appreciate the perfection that goes behind it. Like, I like things neat, clean, organized. And when you came in and started laying lines, it flows right together. I mean, it's top notch. There's, like you said, like my cousin started cutting, and he's a logger. His job is to go in, get as much production out as possible, and that's not what we're there to do. And that was really eye-opening to it. It's well worth the money for the extra precision. And not just precision, but when you're building walls, you're not just laying trees. You got to make sure they're matted together, so you're not just leaving holes in them and where deer can walk through, or you know what I mean. It's a lot more in depth than what most people realize.
Yeah, I think it's that well constructed orchestration of timber in a manner where, like, I think we cut a couple J's. I didn't do any zigzags. Sometimes I'll do W's, I'll do U's. I mean, I'll cut different shapes in the woods depending on how we need to construct things and where we need to put deer. You know, we set thresholds. We try to get 70 deer beds per acre, you know, in a bedding area specifically. Those are thresholds we try to hit. In some cases, you're just playing with topography. You know, naturally, when I was on this client's property yesterday, we're working around beaver ponds, and I'm literally telling him there's going to be a bed there, right? And he's like, I mean, he walked up and there were all beds there. We were 150 yards away. I said, see that tree right there? Underneath that tree, there's going to be two beds. And he goes up, there's two beds there. And he's like, holy gee, how did you know that? I said, because I can tell you the soil quality in that particular location based on that tree species, the shape of that tree. I know where their body's going to be. I know where they're looking. I know how they're going to flow in and out of that particular location. I know how to cut around. I know what species are going to be adjacent to it to cut. And so I'm just going through this whole thing. He's like, are you like some savant? And I'm not trying to pump myself up. I'm like, dude, I look at timber every single day. This is all I do. You know, it's like you become familiar with that. And I think your familiarity is going to skyrocket, man. I think that property that I was on, I think the sky's the limit. You will have a chance to shoot a buck. Maybe not a booner, maybe, but I think in the 160s, I mean, I think you're going to have some quality deer in that particular area that we worked on. And that's astounding to me. Astounding.
Yeah. It's, and back to where you were talking about, you were on your clients yesterday. You did the same thing on my property this winter. And once you started explaining all this stuff to me, now I'm walking through the woods and I'm saying in my head, there's going to be a deer bed. There's going to be a deer bed. And sure as shit, I mean, they're right there every time. It's just familiarizing yourself with these different scenarios, and it's basic common sense, really. It's just putting your mind in that right train of thought and executing.
You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of these are pet projects for folks. And, you know, you as a business owner, you spend a lot of time working, right? You're on the road a lot, right? You're constantly pushing yourself to grow, right? Manage debt, make income, right? That whole nine.
Definitely.
You know, there's stress there. And I think this is your escape, to put, you know, myself in your shoes. This is your escape.
For sure.
But this this is your passion. I mean, you're more passionate about this than probably, you know, minus your kids and your family situation. This is like right there.
Don't say that in front of my girlfriend. She'll say it's way above.
Yeah. I get it. And I just feel like, I feel like that passion, I want people to feel that with you. And I think I would like you to talk a little bit about, you know, you've gotten to this point where you are accomplished, but you're continuing to invest, and it's a sickness. You know, we most of us have it, and it's a good sickness. I think it's a positive activity. What do you think for you going forward is going to be your game changer? And it may be some of the skills you learned, or it may be some new techniques. I think people want to learn, like, from an individual who's more passionate about this than most of the listeners are crazy about deer hunting, specifically in habitat, of course. What do you think is going to be the game changer for you on this property that we started cutting?
Game changer for me, I think it's going to be putting it all together. Yeah. When this comes together, it's going to be on the money. I mean, I've put a lot of thought, work, and time into just thinking about things and trying to think about things before they happen and being one step ahead of everything instead of doing things wrong and going backwards. So that's been my goal with this property, and it's coming together. I think it lays right. Everything's there. So we've been putting in the work. So hopefully it might be a year or two down the road before I shoot the one I want to shoot, but it's there. I can see the vision, and it's not for the faint of heart. You know, John, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of money, but persistence is the key. You just keep, you get a couple days, go do some cotton, go do some work, you know?
Yeah.
Put the time in. I mean, even if it's an hour listening to somebody's podcast and learning a different perspective, that's what it takes to be constantly growing your game and taking it to the next level, challenging yourself.
I feel like for you, I think this is one thing that I recognize, right? It's not about money, but you do have equipment. You do have, you know, nice things, right? You do have the right perspective. It is buying a good property, a good area that gets you to that better quality. But it also requires all that fine work, the stuff that we explain and went through when we go through the process. And it's also about a different lens. I sat there and I listened to your cousin ramble on for about 20 minutes about all the changes he was about to make when I got there. And I said, holy geez, you know, I was listening to somebody just babble on, and it was all good. I mean, it was all positive. He knows a lot. He's not, he's definitely in tune with a lot of different things, and everyone's perspective is different. There isn't one right way to do everything, clearly. But when he started seeing me work, he's like, I'm going to listen. And his vocalization went down to just listening. And it was funny to listen and somebody transition and say, oh God, I think there's an opportunity to exploit the experience here. Let me sit back. And I think one thing that I realized is a client with you sent me some information recently, a couple of videos, things that you're focused on with soils and soil health and soil management. And, that's next level stuff, right? You're taking it a little farther than most people, which isn't surprising. You're digging in. And I feel like, you know, you're one of those people that is willing to really just, if you're hunting a tough area like New York State, and you know, and you don't just hunt New York State, but you're hunting a tough area within New York State, you have to really be experienced, seasoned, mindful, open. I am so open to ideas. So I sat there and listened to open ideas, and I'm like, yeah, we're not going to do corn there. We're not doing beans there, right? Yes. We're really going to focus on other things before we get to those candy crops. Yes. And I think he started realizing that. It's like, you know what? I am going to tone this back a little bit. I'm just going to reflect a little bit on what's more important in the scheme of things, at least as it relates to improving the property.
Definitely. And I think that's a critical lesson for everybody, is sometimes it takes a strong man to keep his mouth shut and listen. Just, you can learn so much if you just step back and listen, and even in the habitat, just take a step back and look around you. Look through a deer's eyes for a minute and see what's going on in the habitat and listen to things that are going on. You can learn so much more. But you got to be willing to shut your mouth and listen, to take that in.
You know how we were sitting there at the property, and I said, this is great fawning habitat. Like this is the type of fawning habitat you don't want. You want it. You just don't want it right here. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, we came back and we're looking at, well, what do we jump on? It's there's a fawn laying right there. I mean, when you see it and you know it, you know what's good. And I think a lot of people need to learn what quality is, because most of us, particularly in the Northeast and even parts of the Midwest, Michigan, I've been in areas all over the place, Indiana, where they don't know what good is, and they know what poor, maybe average, you know, kind of in that realm. But boy, when you have good or great or excellent, your whole world, it's like you're opening your eyes to new. And I think the soil movement, people criticize that, you know, I don't see it the same way. I think you're always filling a gap, and it's a great way to diversify your landscape. But I think people really need to open their mind to new things. And hopefully on this podcast, we've started to have people do that. But I just think in your world, you know, when you start looking at things more correctly or more in tune, and don't ignore observation. Observation is evidence. Scientists are wrong many times more over than you think. So we rely a 1,000% on some scientific report that came out. I'm not saying it's not relevant or well-studied or organized. It's knowledge at that very time in life. And sometimes we miss the basic observation of things. And so what I do with the clients is we keep it simple. We don't use fertilizer. We have alternative methods, right? They're just different things, different takes on things that are simpler, easier, and more pragmatic. And that's, you know what I mean?
And it's such an aha moment. Like you look at things so basic, it's like, aha, why didn't I look at that like that? Like, duh, it's obvious. You know what I mean? It's, but until you're opened to that mindset, you're like a fish in the water saying water was water. You know, it's, you gotta be opened up to that. I mean, we've all seen it. Look at How many times have you looked on Facebook hunting things asking how to set up a property? And I mean, the property's got zero access except for a little right of way. Like, it's like, sell the property. It's garbage. It's for land management. It's terrible, you know, but
yeah,
until you've seen good, better, or excellent, you don't have that mindset to go with it. And it's eye-opening.
Corbin, I think the one thing I want to end on is, I'll call this working for whitetails. I think a lot of people realize that they've got to do something. I was on a property recently. There were multiple consultants came on. I think I was probably the fourth guy. And I said, dude, why'd you have four guys come out here? You're just spending money. Like, what are you trying to get out of this thing, right? And I realized after that visit, you know, that we didn't break it down to the simple simplicity aspect like you brought up earlier. The other piece of it was I needed to reframe his thought. This is New York State. He needed to be put in the right place. He needed to work for whitetails. He needed to put in the right effort. He was more in the paranoia of analyzation than actually doing. I said, doing's easy. Doing's a time commitment. I said, You're not willing to invest in the time commitment of doing. So if you're not working for whitetails, you're just talking. And I'm not here to talk. I'm here to do. If you don't get, if you're not successful by hiring me, I'm going to turn around right now and go home. And I don't want to be in a situation where you're not going to do the work. So as a consultant, my job is to ensure that you're actually taking the steps to get there. If you've hired me and you've not hired me to come back, you've made a major mistake, in my opinion.
Yes.
And I'm saying that because I want you to do the work, because if you don't do the work to be successful, you wasted the initial investment with me. And you don't have to have me come back, but I want you to get there. And I think the point of having you on this call was to recognize that we looked at a brand new property. I didn't consult on the property that I cut on, but I felt like that was an opportunity for us to exploit, like working for whitetails and not just envisioning the potential, you know?
Agreed. 100%, John.
Yeah.
It was worth every penny. I mean, if you've thought about having John come out to your property, do it. I mean, I tried out a couple of different consultants, and John, you're the only one that I found that, I don't want to say passionate, but truly from the bottom of your heart wants you to succeed just as much or more than I did. And that shows through your work. It really does. And I appreciate that. Especially being a passionate deer hunter, you know?
Yeah. And we share a bond that way. And that's the best part of it, right? We build a friendship because we have a common bond between us. And I appreciate you saying that. Thanks. Nothing scripted on this, right? I didn't prep you for this call. I said, hey, we're going to do a call today. Are you free? Yep. Great. Great. Let's get on the phone. And I appreciate you taking time out of your day for me. So I'm going to leave you. This is your final thoughts. Right. And don't make this about me. I want you to motivate the listeners. The goal out of these clients is not to get business for me. I appreciate that. But it's to motivate people to continue to grow, working for whitetails, improving your habitat, focusing on ecology. Anything from your perspective, it could be products, it could be things that are meaningful to you. Anything that you just kind of want to end on in respect to just kind of your journey, you, whatever.
Just keep plugging along. I mean, persistence is the true key here. I mean, you're going to screw things up. You're going to make mistakes, but just keep plugging. I mean, I personally grew up in a family of seven. We were dirt poor growing up, didn't have a thing. And I built myself up to this level of having multiple deer properties. I mean, it's been a journey, but I'm 38 years old now. I've got, I don't even know how many farms I got. One, two, three, four, seven farms now. So it's, but it all started with a dream and just kept being persistent. Put your feet on the ground at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't quit till 9 o'clock at night. And if you want it bad enough, it's there. Keep going after it and make it happen. Don't make excuses. It'll come together.
Good.
That's my food for thought.
Good. Good, good. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. It was great to talk, great to learn about you, and I'm sure the audience appreciate that. There's, you know, this is a large community of people listening to this podcast, and, you know, whether you're in the Midwest or the South, Southeast, wherever you are, you know, I started out with don't give up, keep working, you know, focus on your future. Don't be sitting by the pool. Just don't be sitting by the pool. Get it done. Keep grinding, right? I'm grinding every day, and I want you to as well. And, you know, our passion for whitetails, it bleeds through our blood, and I think a lot of you can relate to that. Corbin, of course, is one of those, just like the rest of you. And I just applaud everyone who continues to do the work and makes the good decisions, that's open to change, that's willing to accept new ideas and concepts, that's willing to just try things. And, you know, that's kind of how I want to end. So, Corbin, thanks for the time. I appreciate the conversation, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, John.
See ya.
Maximize Your Hunt is a production of Whitetail Landscapes. For more information on how John Teeter and his team of experts can help you maximize your hunt, check out whitetaillandscapes.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.